Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you yet again for joining us. And if you're new, thank you for checking out our show. On my left is CJ Gibson. Your right. On my right, your left, is Sean Finnegan.
Hello, everyone.
Sean, how are you doing today?
Good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
You're always good at doing that, man. I don't know. Yeah. I keep it straight, but nicely done.
Camera left. Yeah. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about Trials of Osiris. It came back. We've been seeing some of the drops, some of the gear. We know Iron Banner's on its way back next week. We're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to talk about some of the changes that came to Destiny recently, for better or for worse. And we're going to talk about one of the best experiences in the game Destiny, and that's the raid. Sean asked me to set him up for a really bad movie joke.
Nope,
off camera.
Nope. Not even gonna say it. This
broke
is all
character.
Fiction. This
broke character.
A fiction that Destiny and I was, has spun.
And I was like, how can I screw it up for him?
And you totally did.
I like The Raid.
It's a great movie, isn't it?
There it is.
You recommended it. It is a fantastic movie. But we're here to talk about Destiny. And I think we're going to start with The Raid, actually.
Cool.
It's fun.
The raid is awesome.
It's really good.
So that is, like, I think Rise of Iron's, I mean, I don't think I'm alone in saying this. I think that's the biggest strength of Rise of Iron, right? Like,
yes.
The raid, it's pretty short comparatively, but the mechanics are really fun. The design of it is really cool.
Yes.
Like, basically every room I walk into, I'm looking around being like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
You know? Especially like the lead up, I guess it's a lead down, the big ramp to the big cube right before the first boss, before you take the big jump.
Spoilers, you haven't played
so
this yet.
It's so sci-fi and so cool. It's like this big red glowing box and you're like, it feels very ominous. Like you get this very HAL 9000 feel and I'm like, it feels cool, man. Like it makes me excited to fight these guys. I'm like super stoked on the raid. I've raided every day. Minus the 2 days where I was out of town on assignment for IGN. I've raided every day on both characters. Just for the fun of it, like not even to get gear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool. It's very
definitely.
Cool.
CJ, your thoughts?
It was awesome. I'm trying to remember the vault of glass feeling that I have. There were still moments in that where I go, okay, there's just different mechanics there that I still find myself going, I miss those mechanics. But overall, the theme was a ball. Like, mm-hmm. that was like, you know, the bomb and the throwing mechanic.
Yeah. Hucking balls.
I know. Yeah. It's really fun. Yeah.
I like it.
The first time you did it, you're like, nah, and that feeling.
You dunk on the boss and you
toss,
do three-pointers at the
shots.
Beginning.
Hucking, chugging, the ball.
It's cool. Yeah. But the way it feels is actually super fun. Mm-hmm. Like that moment you had when you first grabbed one, you're like, what do I do with this? And you're like, yeah, throw it at that guy. All right, here we go. Third person.
Yeah.
It was
really very, very fun.
It's also really, really well done raid.
It's also like kind of a skill shot, right? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
sometimes that boss will just take one step when you weren't expecting it, and your ball goes flying right by him, and you feel so dumb.
Yeah,
and that's the beautiful part. It's like, you can watch everybody else doing it, and you're like,
you missed, bro.
You missed. We saw that.
No, I hit him. No, you didn't. We all saw.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And if you
really
look,
good.
If you look at the way it was designed in comparison to Vault of Glass, I can't remember the second one. Crota's End?
Yeah, Crota's End.
Was it Dark Below? Yeah. Yes, yes. No, and then
it's called Crota's End, right?
It was Dark Below.
The Dark Below is the DLC. Yeah, the name of the DLC. Yeah. The raid is called Crota's End.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm not making this up. I think I'm right.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the last one, those two are kind of like you're fighting demons, basically. You're fighting a big demon in the shape of Oryx and his son before that. Mm-hmm. And the first one's like you're fighting like time robots, but it's very glass.
Yeah, time traveling robots.
Glass and teleportation and stuff like that. This one, it's like, the reason I really like it, and sorry, I'll let you make your point in a second. This one I really like, it's because it is a group of characters that have enhanced themselves and almost lost control of their sense of self. And I made a joke, like, we saw the final boss on stream, and I'm like, at what point did he think, maybe I've gone too far with my SIVA implementation? So SIVA's like, hey, all right, here's what we're going to do next. We're going to, like, cut you in half, but... And he's like, I don't know about that. They're like, well, what if we gave you cool spider legs?
He was like, he's like, whoa,
I'm in.
Cool.
I'm in. That sounds awesome.
He's like, I get two more. Don't they already have six arms total? The captain?
Yes. Yeah.
I get two more arms or two more limbs? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sold. It's hard to say how the raid, because it's so fresh and so new right now, how it stacks up versus the other raids. Hmm. I think I definitely like it better than Crota's End. I don't know if I like it better than...
Yeah.
You like the length.
Yes.
Yeah,
see, like,
good.
For me, I kind of wish it was longer. Like, so I'm selfish. I want everything in Rise of Iron to be longer, including the campaign. Mm-hmm. Like, just because I like it so much, I want more of it.
I agree on the campaign wholeheartedly.
The raid, I thought, like, from a mechanics perspective, isn't quite as complex as Vaults of Glass. Like,
no,
you and me were talking about the CG the other day, but, like, on the Atheon encounter, the whole, like, randomization of teleporting to different planets, like that adds this depth. Yeah, it takes practice, even for seasoned guardians. And like, this isn't quite as mechanically complex. Like, we both, I don't know about you guys, you didn't, I don't know if you were able to raid on day one, CJ, but like, both you and me, our fire teams found out the mechanics pretty easily on day one and executed well enough to finish it. And so it's like, I wish it was a little deeper, but it is emphasizing that like speed of play and precision of play, because you can't miss your slam, or you can't be just like 10 feet too far, or else you will not make it in time. And I kind of like the urgency that adds to the raid. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Vault of Glass stuff, like, that was the piece where if you got teleported and you're trying to shield the people who are lower light, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know? And in this situation, there's a lot of forgiving moments. Like, in the final raid, you can almost die at any point in it and potentially still be okay.
On normal mode. Yeah.
So we'll see how that works after hard mode gets released. But that was a piece of the puzzle. Like, if you died in Vault of Glass, like, in the early part, you're like, wipe. This one, you're just kind of like, oh, you died at a good spot. You know, you died at a good time. Yeah. We might be able
to recover right in the beginning. It's like, okay, the bosses aren't even out yet. I think I can hold this spot. Yeah. We're going
to
be okay.
Or if you don't make it to, like, that clean light platform or whatever before, you know, the boss, like,
does his thing. Yeah, it's like, okay, that's a good time.
Yeah.
On the first couple of runs, it was like you needed every single one of those platforms and damage phases to go perfectly, or else you weren't going to do the damage you needed to get them to where you needed to be.
Yeah.
After now leveling up a little bit and getting some of the really cool raid weapons. By the way, the scout rifle is amazing.
It's really, really good.
It's
especially,
so good.
Especially for the raid.
What's it called? Chaos Dogma.
I think that's the...
No,
okay.
It's called Chaos Dogma.
What's the auto? Yeah.
Genesis Chain.
Yes,
Chain.
You're right. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, side note, if you don't have the scout rifle, it's basically a better version of Hung Jury. Like, if you consistently land your precision shots, you can get up to 45 shots. Me and Brian counted.
It has triple double. You can also increase the magazine size. I think that gives you even more rounds
exactly.
to hit them with. Because it's like you fire three rounds, but then you get two of them back on that third hit. So third precision hit. Mm-hmm. It is very, very lethal.
Yeah. And just anything that you're shooting... Any time that you're shooting at something that doesn't move all that much and you can consistently land precision shots, it's such a high sustained DPS. Like, we just primary down the boss most of the time now. Like, sometimes on that third teleport phase, we'll throw the Titan bubble and then, like,
do
Hunter.
And
then blow all of your Galahorn shots. But, it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. DPS phase is the most important on that. Well, not dying is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then DPS phase, when you get there, tether, bubble, and hit them with that. But on the third round, hit with the Scorch Cannon, charge it for like 1,000, 2,000, detonate.
Exactly.
It does
40K
like
damage, right?
Well, it does like 90 if you've touched.
Fully charged, right?
Just like for the 2 seconds. You hold it for like 2 seconds. If you just hit him, it's like 40.
Yeah.
But if you hit him and charge it for a little bit, and you can dump all three cannons in with a weapons bubble and a tether, right, it does 125,000 damage points.
Yeah.
Wow.
A rocket.
And yeah. What light level are you at?
That's at most light levels. I think on my lower side, when I was around 365, it was still doing 100.
Wow.
Or close to it.
That's pretty crazy.
So,
yeah. So, like, to round that back out, my original thought was, like, mechanically, once your DPS gets high enough, which I think most people who've been running the raid since it opened, their DPS is now high enough for normal mode, you can screw up those, like, the slamming phase. Like, regularly we'll screw up at least one just because we're noobs, and we still have the DPS to kill them without one of those platforms, you know.
Yeah.
Or you just waste a platform essentially.
We would be doing the raid an injustice if we didn't talk about the phenomenal hidden room.
Yeah, dude.
And what it entails
just
to unlock that, and that whole
stuff,
quest line for
the
exotic
stuff.
Pulse.
Yeah, all of the hidden stuff and secrets are so cool in that. Like,
and how they came about. Like, I remember you saying, I watched some of your stream after I think you and I were actually flying back when it happened in the airplane. I was like, what did you find? And then you were in the middle of going.
So I was literally at the part going. So when Dado is the first person in the world who found this, right? And I'm literally at my stream. I'm like, man, I know there's something in the secret room. Like, let's all gather by the door. And I'm about to go. And somebody in my chat, Xavier, he's just like, wait, Dado just solved it. Don't move. I'm like, everybody stop. Like, the whole team except me is through the door. And so we all stopped and we figured out this puzzle, like, right around the time it was being solved. It was such an exciting moment.
That's cool.
It's
it
so
was
cool
so cool.
Because
and then it opened and I lost my mind.
You're talking about the big cube here?
The big cube opened.
So,
and then,
like, I remember the first time my group ran through it, we were like, something has to happen
in this area.
But we were in this area, right? Because it's so big and it's pretty complex and well designed. You're like,
and all you did was kill Shanks, and you're like, oh, what's happening now? And you just ran through it, and it's like, there's more to this.
Like, there's the maze, and then there's the actual like platforms with all the little like, you know,
computers,
cylindrical things, right? And then we'd previously seen, you know, broken monitors. Like, monitors are a theme, so we were looking out for those. We didn't really know what was going on, and we were really just, you know, at that point we were really just trying to get through it as fast as we could. But yeah, man, like, what well-hidden secrets. I don't know how people wrap their heads around this stuff. Like, I can't figure this stuff out.
There were Reddit threads where, like, everybody's put in your unique sequence for this ARG that Bungie's been teasing, and they somehow laid them all out so it made an image which mapped the four cylinders you had to start on to start it. So I'm going to talk spoilers for the next about 2 minutes, so if you want to fast forward, here's how it works. So Reddit figured out the four cylinders you have to stand on. Two started in that room. You stand on those, you have two people stay on the computers at opposite sides of the room, and then once you stand on those platforms, the computers turn on, and the left person needs to read their binary number that comes up.
You have to be able to read binary.
Yeah, and then you translate that into English. It'll be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the other guy translates his number from binary into a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then there's quadrants on the wall, 0, 1, 2, 3, and it goes counterclockwise. You start at 0 and go 1, 2, 3, and so the guy in the computer room will read off his binary to real number, which will be like 3. So you go to column 3. They're labeled on the wall.
Yeah.
Column 3.
They're basically coordinates.
Yeah. Column 3 in section 0. And then he's like, all right, number 4. So it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's up to 5. And then you stand there and you wait a little bit and then it turns on.
It lights up.
Yeah. And then you do that 4 times, and then, like, there's a loud noise, then it opens. It's so exciting. Like, just thinking about it.
There's a little hidden chest in there, and I get an exotic out of it every time.
Yeah, you get an emblem, too. You get a really cool emblem, the SIVA puzzle or something like that. I can't remember the exact name.
It's a little, like, red squares.
Yeah. I really, really like it. It was such a cool moment.
Hidden stuff like that is really what is so rewarding for, like, longtime Guardians, because you spend a lot of time in these locations, and then to have something totally new come out of left field at a part that you've already been at, there are no feelings quite like that in other games, you know? It's really cool.
Yeah.
And again, we go back to the Vault quest. It was that quest when you walk through Vault of Glass again for, like, the second or third time, you're like, oh, there's, like, a portal over here. Like, those moments when you play a game and played through the raid, what, 2 or 3 times before you found that?
Yeah.
It's crazy that happens, and you go, I know there's something, and you're just not focused on it. And then just jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's amazing.
CJ, you raid with me, and I've discovered something about myself. There's two modes where I don't want to joke around and I want to be serious, and I'm like, we need to work as a team. If nobody's taking leadership, I will be the leader. But if somebody wants to lead, that's fine too. But it's the raid and trials. Yeah. You need somebody to coordinate the whole team and make sure everybody's on the right page. Who's left? Call out left empowerment.
Yeah.
Call out center. If two people call out center, one of you switch to right. And be locked in those positions and don't screw up. You know,
and we did a one and done run that time. Yeah. Like, I don't think we wiped the whole time.
You didn't tell me you had never done it.
I know.
So
what?
So, I know. I didn't.
He did pretty well. CJ. He did pretty well. It was CJ Panda and a group of other people that I play with regularly.
Because I did the mechanics with another group of mine, and we pretty much had him down to that like point where he was dying and they couldn't finish. And I was like, okay, well, I'm in this position where if I just kind of play good, and I mean, I don't mind being the type B guy going and listening to the commands. I'm like, I'm totally fine with that. In this situation, I'm just like, I'm not going to tell anybody. And then when we beat it, the one and done run, I was like, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was good.
Yeah.
And then you got your emblem and they were like, wait, what? I've never done this before?
Nothing. Yeah, it was fun, man. I mean, and figuring out that whole quest line too with that primary exotic. That was
I talked to you about this. I want to get a crew together. We're going to run every Tuesday at 8, do all three runs, probably an hour each. Get people that exotic.
Yeah. So I have the second quest. It's, what is it called? Be the Battery. It's like after you unlock it in the raid. I haven't gotten the exotic yet. You did get it. We're not talking about the new pulse. Something Prime. Outbreak Prime.
Yeah. Dude, I got it.
It's really good.
It is really good. I heard it's Hawksaw archetype. Its rate of fire is higher than any pulse that I have. And it sends out these SIVA swarms.
Right.
People are using it in trials because it sends out SIVA swarms and they track the other people on the team. So you kill a guy, he explodes in the SIVA swarms, then it tracks the other guys.
Yeah.
It is a beast.
It drops at
390.
Regardless of your light level.
Cool. That's really cool. Me and Brian are going to be working on the quest this weekend. Mm-hmm. He has to raid again tonight because we went into a raid yesterday and we messed up courtesy of one bagel noob.
I have to call you out.
Brian was pissed. It was so funny. I was laughing because Bagel kept trying to like smooth it over, but Brian would not have anything. He wanted to get in that raid to get that quest, and then when we couldn't do it, he was pissed. But
Just real quick, did you play trials yet with it? Somebody was using it?
Because other people were using it and they were wrecking.
Yeah.
It's a very good weapon. I can't believe it works well in not only PvE but PvP.
So, and that's a question. Does it work too well?
It's not a Vex. So it's not a Vex mythic class.
It was one of you who was telling me that it's so powerful that it's bound to get nerfed like eventually.
I mean, in PvP, that's where the issue I think is going to be. Like when you can potentially be huddle up in an area and then have a gun that kind of chases everybody away. It's like Axiom Bolt. It's like one of those things where it's just you run forever and you're like,
it's still coming.
So will it have that effect in trials to the point that they nerf it? I mean, I don't know.
Basically, just don't group up too much in trials and you're going to be fine.
True.
You know, I know you play as a team, but you shouldn't be necessarily always right next to each other because then you got snipe, snipe, snipe.
But if three people at the same time are rocking that weapon, it's got to be one of those things where you just wonder, how is this? Like, this is going to be one of those things that, again, just changes, like, the PvP meta in a way that, like, we'll see. But
honestly,
I have a feeling it could be.
The PvP meta right now is so, like, I think there isn't a meta right now because everyone's just trying to figure it all out. Like, I get killed by a different gun every single time.
Right now,
right now it's insane.
Yeah, man, I tried it out and I'm just kind of like, man, this feels pretty good. Oh, the rate of fire is pretty good. Oh, the reload's really good. I upgraded it. This thing's amazing. Like, it was just like little things and it kept getting better and better and better in my mind. Yeah, that said, while we're on the topic of PvP, we do have to talk about the fact that Trials is back.
Yeah.
I played it right before this. Thank you so much to Elite and Alex, who randomly hopped on. I'm like, I need to play this before we talk about it on the show. Bounties have changed. There's more bounties that you can pick. And the rewards are hard to get. I think you got to get 20 wins for the gold package now, which is a challenge and some other stuff on that card.
Okay.
But Trials is back. It's great. I don't love the gear. But I haven't seen it in other shaders. I don't like the default one.
I'm just speaking here. I always look right at the Titan first because I'm a Titan primarily. I think the gear design looks cool. I don't love the color. That's what I love. That's like the whole blue and yellow.
I have to see it in other shaders.
Yeah, that's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
It's like, what if it looks amazing with like your God of War shit or something?
Minor note, props to Bungie for finally making it so that my lime green Titan mark now changes with shades.
Yes.
My bath towel can finally fit in with the rest of my armor set.
I'm looking on Twitter right now to see if I can find anybody who's posted a roll of the weapons that have dropped or anything, but... I'm not being rude and just being on my phone.
I like this. What's really cool, what I think is really cool about it is, like, if you have the old Trials of Osiris gear, you can collect the new stuff, but you don't necessarily have to use it because you can infuse stuff all the way up. Like, I like the old Trials look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mix and match a lot of gear. Like, I won't use the Trials helm for Titans from the old days, but I'll use the Iron Banner one.
Yeah.
But then everything else is Trials.
I really liked all the old stuff from last Trials. I mean, it just had this look that was just very iconic. So hopefully, I might have to mix and match too, because I'm not super excited about that stuff yet. But, I guess we'll see once we get, like, Shaners and ornaments and that stuff into it. The Winged Word was a sniper that
you were showing me before the show.
That dropped today for a friend of mine. So, I'd be interested to see what that looks like. But it looks like a fairly high-impact sniper, and... stability. And it's got a cool art design, too. It's just really... Everything kind of looks like it's pre-manufactured, like, just out back. They got these kind of, you know, it looks like, you know, bow ties and, you know, strings. And even some of them had, like, this... it's got, like, an animal fur attached to them. There's a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah,
even
with,
the,
like, the Iron Banner,
five winds
wolf
is still
sword
armor,
theme,
seven's
yeah,
weapons.
Aesthetic theme, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
That's actually... Speaking about weapon design real quick... The raid weapon design is really cool. Like, at first, when I first got the drop of the Scout Ruff, I was like, wait, why is it an Omalon?
Yeah.
And then you upgrade it.
And then you upgrade it, and it gets all sievified. Cool. It's, like, glowing. It's got, like, essentially, like, blood vessels connected to that open part on the top, the canister or whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of the guns... Like, I also have the Raid Shotgun, which, by the way, the Raid Shotgun's really good, too.
Yeah, it is good.
At least
it's
I
okay.
think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a slow reload time, but it does a lot of damage. And the Battle Runner slash... running interference perks actually are super noticeable.
You know what's super noticeable in the raid?
What?
When you wear the raid gauntlets and you have heavy all over the place.
That's
I love the new gauntlets.
That's the thing is like you're always like wanting more and more heavy to the point where I was like, okay, I'm ditching my Helm of Saint and running Rune Wings and I upgraded those. And then instantly, like right after that, Brian got the raid gloves and he's like, there's like 30 boxes of heavy just everywhere. And I'm like, I want those, man. Yeah.
I did forget to mention one thing about the raid. I saw somebody else do this, and to kill the guys that come out and drop the cannons, I noticed the sword works ridiculously well, particularly the Void Sword.
We do Galahorns.
Yeah, so Galahorns kind of work, but he darts around all the time. Yeah. So
he's
I run in there
the
with
back.
A sword and I just nuke. It's one hit and then a spin and he's dead.
Which sword?
The Void.
Oh, okay.
Because you spin on him.
Right.
Because he'll
try
and melee you, and he does less damage up close, but if you're far away, you have more of a chance to die.
Cool.
So I've been using that. And then on boss DPS phase, you can stand under him and spin him and still do a ton of DPS with your heavy.
I saw you doing that one time, yeah. It looks like it does a fair amount of damage.
I tried it out.
It's actually
good.
Really interesting because we've, like, you know, I think most Destiny players are like, don't go near the boss, he'll slam you, right? Because every boss has a slam, but not this one.
No. Not this time.
You gotta get close to him to jump on him.
So that was part of our strategy. Yeah. Like, I even switched to, at some point we decided, we had, initially everyone has DPS problems, right? You're not doing enough damage to him. So we were like, well, what can we do, right? We got a Titan bubble.
Yeah.
We got, you know, Hunter tethers.
This coordination is really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were like, what about melting point? Like, no one uses Sunbreaker Melting Point. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. I'll slam.
Yeah.
Punch him in the leg.
And Warlock. And Warlock grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you get 50% more damage from Melting Point. It just stacks. It's great. Mm-hmm. But where were we going with that?
He was talking about boss strategy, I think.
Raid stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I know.
We love the raid a lot.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's a really good raid. The weapons, too, I will say, I like the fact, and confirm this because I'm not 100% sure, they drop all the same. There's no perks and rolls on. I like that because ultimately...
Infusion fuel. That's why I like it.
That, but even to think about where we're going with, you know, everybody saying, will they create a solution? Oryx had a whole bunch of different drops. So those weapons always had a different perk on them. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's potentially maybe a blueprint coming for this kind of stuff in the future.
Yeah.
I would like to think that potentially was the reason maybe why they didn't do all those kind of perks for the raid weapons. So you didn't have like...
Yeah, I also don't like the idea that you could do Oryx or whatever and get like a scout rifle and then... someone else would get the same scout rifle, but yours would be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On
for no other reason than RNG.
Yeah.
That
kind
of sucks, so I get the idea of having unified perks across the board.
Yeah.
That said, the rocket launcher is really, really good. minus the fact that it doesn't have tracking.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that sucks. Like, mm-hmm. I've missed a couple shots, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Come on, you know? But, you know.
But there's a Gjallarhorn way. You can't have it all, you know? There's a Gjallarhorn way.
Well, so you get an amazing scout, an okay shotgun, a good rocket launcher.
Okay. I think the shotgun is better than okay. Like, it's not amazing, like but it's really, I think it's pretty strong.
Okay.
Yeah, plus, I like the design of it. Oh, yeah. And that was the
thing. The design a lot.
Going back to the design real quick, it didn't make sense to me why, like, the shotgun was a Haka one and, like, the scout rifle is an Omalon. And I was like, wait a second. These are, like, I think it's tied into the lore of who these people are, right? Like, that you're fighting. Like, I think, are these potentially the the Iron Lord's weapons? Is that what they're suggesting to us?
From the raid? No.
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
But why would they be like...
The Iron Lord's weapons were like what you get from Iron Banner.
Jeweler's
hammer and prunes, whatever.
Well, there's those things, right? Yeah, there's like... What's the machine gun? I forget. Jolder's something.
They didn't die in the raid, though. They died in a different place.
No, but they died fighting Siva, and now Siva is taking control of all of this shit.
Thanks, Sean.
There it
Sorry.
Is.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to... I was trying to... Like, it actually... At first, I was like, why would it be Haka and Omalon, right? And then as I thought of it more, it seems like... Siva was something that originated by humans, right?
Interesting thought. I don't think that's correct, though.
Okay. All I'm saying is there's probably a deeper lore thing there. And now I actually like that they are...
Different.
Yeah.
I think the gun visually is telling a story. I think you're trying to dig a little deeper, but I think the story is what they decided to show artistically. These weapons are now infected by Siva like everything else in the raid was. You know, it's all spliced together, people. But I don't know, maybe there is more to it. We'll have to watch Bice channel to find out.
Yeah. There is. Shout out. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We do need to talk about some other stuff, though. We could talk about the raid for the whole show. We might get back to it. But Iron Banner is coming back. The temper mechanic is gone. There are now 4 weekly bounties. Bounty rewards include an Iron Banner item not featured on the vendor, a chance at an Iron Banner artifact or vanity item, 25 legendary marks, 750 banner rep, and victory in a match grants 250 reputation. Iron Medallions grant 150 reputation each upon victory. Upon Victor. Anyway. On this occasion, this is what you're fighting for in addition to other randoms that can be earned by completing bounties. So there is an auto rifle. There's a shotgun. There's some really sweet hunter armor. There is the Titan armor and the Warlock armor. The Titan armor looks a lot like the armor you get from the story.
But this stuff looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
It looks okay, but I think I've liked the other armor in the past.
I don't know, man. The chainmail stuff looks cool.
Yeah, I like the gold.
But you kind of get that already with the story stuff that you get.
What?
It's close, yeah.
I don't really... I haven't seen any
of this. It's not different enough, I guess, is what I'm saying for me.
Oh, okay.
This looks like... I don't know, man. This looks like medieval armor type stuff.
Yeah, I like that stuff overall. Yeah, it's got a good look to it. It's not...
Well, all the gear kind of looks like that from the book.
But I mean, more like, well, yes, but more chainmail-y than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah. I'm not saying I hate it.
I also don't have the whole book unlocked yet. I'm like at level 9 or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, around level 12, you unlock everything, I think. I like it. It's okay, but it's all going to come down to perks. How does this, what's the shotgun roll on this? We won't know until, where's the date? It's Tuesday, October 4th at 10 a.m., I think. Correct. Nailed it. And it's Supremacy.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
It is Supremacy.
Which I'm excited for Supremacy.
That I don't know, man.
Cool. No?
Yeah, you're going to need you're going
to
need
I
don't know.
Guns.
Like, if you're sniping, you're not helping your team basically.
I don't know. Because if you shoot people before they you know they're going to try and run in there and grab a few whatever crests.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Sniping takes a little bit more team coordination
cuz
like you got your sniper holding back and it's like, "Okay, shotgun guy, you're going to go in there and get those crests."
Yeah, go try and grab those.
Cuz how often do you play? I mean, I jump into lots of different matches that are, you know, all the 6v6 game types, but rarely do I go in with 6 until Iron Banner.
Yeah.
Be cool to see how this Supremacy thing plays out with 6 people that I am actually playing with all the time that we can communicate and see, you know.
We were me and my fire team were talking about what we liked about Supremacy, and we just think like as a mode it's cool because it forces people to move.
Yes.
You know? Like you're not being as efficient if you just get the kill and you don't go for the crest. I kind of like that it incentivizes you to move. But I've said that before, like that's the same reason I like control, right? Because it makes you go somewhere. You can't just chill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I think
you look like you really had a point there.
No. Yeah. I was just thinking that Supremacy is great. I think we're going to talk about this more next week after we've had more time to play it. Like, we didn't get time. I played 2 rounds of trials today before the show. We've talked about the gear before and stuff. I do want to talk about some of the patch notes, though. Sorry, guys.
So long, Omnigul.
I was going somewhere with that, and I kind of lost it, but I'm trying to salvage it here. Let's go into patch notes. So 2.4.0.3 is the patch that got rid of the Omnigul farm.
Yeah.
365.
Yeah.
Right?
So to bring everyone up to speed, if you don't know about this.
We talked about it last week.
Okay.
That was like our main topic last week.
You are all in the know then. That's right. 100% of you. Every single Guardian out there listening.
Well, let them know quickly.
Yeah, so there's a point when Omnigul appears before the final encounter where if you do enough damage, you can take her out and she actually drops loot. And then you can die.
Yeah.
And she'll spawn. You'll spawn right at that same point, and she's there, and you can keep farming her over and over again.
Now she
gives you pretty good drops.
Now you can. I found out about the farm after everybody was pretty close to 365. Fran was doing it. It's not that bad if you just do strikes, though. So some people are saying do Sepix Perfected. This was very fast.
I think if you can reliably kill her every time, then it became the most efficient way.
Yes,
which is why they patched it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like my group actually couldn't reliably kill her every time. Yeah, like
it takes a while to get it done.
Well, we'd tether her and then she'd get like.
She'd move annoyingly.
Yeah, she'd move like crazily.
You have to throw one of the grenades at her that make her drunk, basically, she's like, "Oh, I don't know what I'm doing."
But what light level were you at as well, too? Because this is.
I mean, I was low. I'm still on the low side in my fire team, but like, I was probably at that point like mid 350s or something.
Because when you're at 350s, it was really hard. I think that was one of the things. Maybe we did an injustice to it last time. It's like you really had to be like brought in by somebody who was a higher light level who could do enough DPS to kill her, or she does get away. I mean, you can pin her, but
sometimes you do enough damage, but you're also not just trying to do the damage to her. You're also trying to keep all those adds under control. And like, if you don't have a Stormtrance Warlock, or if you don't, I don't know, just blow her up before the adds overrun you, then you end up shooting yourself with a rocket or just getting meleeed to death by thralls. It wasn't the most reliable thing, but as Destin said, the reason they patched it out is because if you could do it reliably, then it became by far the most efficient way to farm and get up there, and that's not really what they want people doing.
And to Fran's
same thing with like shooting in a cave, right? You don't want people to shoot into a cave.
Me too. And to Fran's point, I mean, he did make a good point. I mean, we kind of joked about his urgency to light level up for the raid.
It should be spaced out more. I like that hard raid's coming weeks away.
Yes.
And I'll read this quote in a second.
Enjoy the rest of the content.
Did you guys talk about that last show? That was a big discussion point on Reddit that a lot of people were like.
What, hard mode?
The fact that the raid was three days after the launch, and
I was dead when I ran that raid. Like, I was on like 3 hours of sleep or something.
So a lot of Guardians, well, it seems, and this is just a cursory anecdotal approach from me, but like I glanced at Reddit, and it seemed like a lot of people in that community particularly didn't like the idea that they felt
rushed.
Very rushed. Yeah. And like they also, a lot of people who are on the more casual side of Destiny felt alienated a little bit, like they're missing out because they have jobs or kids or whatever. And I get
launched on a Tuesday, went live on a Friday. Friday morning,
and that climb was honestly it was not easy.
Grind.
It was rough, man.
And without that,
like I barely made it.
I didn't come into work on Thursday, so I'm like, I'm not going to be ready if I don't play Destiny.
And the other thing was like, even at work, you were on Destiny the whole time.
I couldn't believe like you were able to survive. I mean, you put in a lot of hours that week, and it was
I played basically as soon as work finished. I played until 2 a.m. every night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
You hit like 370,
barely,
right?
60. I hit the bare minimum before raid time. And like,
and then we booted up. We heard it was 360. We booted up, recommended like 370. It's like, what?
Oof.
So let's talk about some of the design things. Ghosts and artifacts do not drop that much. And let's read a quote from senior designer Victoria Dolbaum. We were talking about Omnigul getting passed out and everything. This is the first step in a post-launch iterative process. This is from Bungie. Victoria, we're looking into the way Destiny Rise of Iron rewards the completion of activities with items that will increase your light. Currently, our opinion, I got really hooked on the fact that it's our opinion, is that ghosts and artifacts are dropping less frequently than intended. Really? You think?
We know that.
You think? You basically have to run
a
Taken King mission to get an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
It's been a while.
Or the raid now. You can get them in the raid, too.
Yeah.
But those are the only places you can get an artifact. You can level up Eris.
Eris, yeah. Which, I mean, I'm
for a low chance at getting one.
I know.
Ghosts and artifacts making... Okay. They're dropping less frequently than intended, making it difficult for players to reach higher light after 365. In the weeks to come, we'll be investigating a solution that provides alternate max light sources for those two slots. Additionally, when the heroic raid is released, many activities and all engrams will increase their maximum light level, basically.
Do we know what it's going to be? Is it 400?
Yes, max is 400. Right. We know that.
So they're pretty much saying, hey, we took away Omnigul.
No, but... hey, we throttled leveling.
Well, yes.
It was a bad idea, and we're going to open up the throttle after hard raid releases. Just open it up now. Like, open it up to 385.
Yeah.
Purples being a joke is not good design.
No, it's not.
I get a purple, and I'm like, bye.
Yeah.
I check it in dim to see if it's got a good roll, like a good percentage roll, but if it doesn't, I just get rid of it.
Well, I kind of jokingly said that last week, you know, just dismantle your blues, which is not, again, like,
play the game how you want. But I dismantle my blues.
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like,
by the way, thanks for pushing out that 385 mark on my Warlock, because I had so many blues drop in Archon's Forge.
So that's what I was saying. So within the context of, you get into the raid, you get in Omnigul, you get in all these places that drop a crazy amount of loot and tons of blues. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that greens don't go to your postmaster, thank God.
Yeah. They do.
No, greens do not.
Yes, they do.
Greens?
Yes.
No.
Do you want me to show you my footage of a green going to my postmaster?
It went to your postmaster?
Yep.
How?
Don't know, because but it was there.
That's just the mechanic. So if you miss loot, it goes to your postmaster.
Yeah. If you miss a green engram on the ground, that does not go to your postmaster.
The engram does not. The actual item goes to your postmaster. It totally does. Because I had a green in there, and I remember on stream being like, oh, a green. Good. Thank you for being the one item that pushed out my...
There's footage of Destin freaking out.
I need to see that. Well, because that was my... Funny. That was the only reason why I said, hey...
Twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel, where I'm angry all the time.
When you're farming Omnigul and all these other parts, like, you just don't have the time. And you keep people waiting was my only thing. Like, just dismantle a couple blues if you need to so you don't miss purples or legendaries or, like, or the exotics.
There's a Reddit post right now also about this. Reddit says legendaries and exotics should never be pushed out by a blue or a green. What are you doing?
Yeah, 100%.
And like, there's got to be a calculation you put in your code that says...
What do you mean pushed out, though?
Because
if
your vault's full...
Yeah, and if you have like 16 vault...
Never been there.
Okay, but even if as you're raiding, say if your vault's full and all the slots on your items are full...
Mm-hmm. It goes to your postmaster.
It goes to your postmaster. But if you don't know how many pieces are going to your postmaster, you could potentially miss drops because you're playing a raid and there's a whole bunch of blues on the ground.
You could miss exotic engrams. Exotic engrams get deleted. They're gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Legendary engrams, legendary items.
See, that's really
items.
Interesting because, I don't know, my fire
Rare
team
drops.
Will speak to this for me, but I'm so liberal with my dismantling and infusing.
I wish.
Like, to the point where it's almost a fault. Like, a lot of times I'll be screwed out of light because I foolishly dismantled something for marks, like, a day ago.
And I get why people do that. I think the biggest issue is now it's another DLC, there's no more vault space, and you're in a situation where you're like going, okay, I want to test all these weapons out. I don't want to dismantle all my new raid stuff. Everybody's like, oh, well, this is no good. This is no good. So you kind of got to go by what other people are saying before you get a chance to actually use it. So that is my only criticism of that. I wish you could decide to either set a postmaster like toggle switch, or there'd be a way for you to actually dismantle the engram on the ground in the world without it actually going into your inventory first.
Yeah, like,
that's the issue.
What about all green items just auto decrypt and become materials?
That's been something we've asked since vanilla.
Yeah.
Because who uses those?
But blue is the same thing. Like, just auto decrypt it or.
Okay, so maybe they auto decrypt after you hit max level.
Yeah.
So that's the other piece that I want to mention real quick is, you're in the same position where you're trying
to toggle an option on if you want them to
grind up, and then you're playing a match and your other items are low, and you're just like, oh, I didn't equip my one thing before the end of the drop, so I'm stuck at 360 whatever because I don't have all the different pieces at max light level all the time. Like, it should know your max light, so you don't constantly need to equip those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a situation where, oh, whoops, I didn't make
time,
my
Guardian
370, but I was playing with 368 things because I like those weapons.
Really quick, what light level are you all?
I'm 384.
I think I'm 370 now.
Gosh, you guys are outpacing me. I'm 369 still. I'm having trouble hitting that 370.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're okay, though. You're fine to do the normal raid.
No, and the other thing is, like, my... Yeah. my fire team is hardcore. Like, Brian over there is like 388 or 389 or something. I'm like, what the crazy? Like, how did you guys get that?
And I'm wondering about trials, too. I know we need to wrap it up. That is what I'm excited to see.
I'm 381 for trials with a good gear. With
Wow, really? I'm like 350s.
I very carefully look at my gear before I do anything. Like, I use DIM. I actually use their loadout builder. And I start looking like, okay, what has the best roll? What's at the bottom of the roll chart?
Yeah.
This one has a lower roll than this in strength, 100% roll. Yep. I can straight up delete this one or use it for infusion fuel, and I'm very strategic about that.
So I'm hoping to roll with I have a couple of trials buddies, Steven and Perez and a few other people, where I know they're higher light levels, and I'm going, okay, you need to help me, because at 370, I know I'm going to be super low for
you're
trials.
Okay.
But still want to do it. 370
is going to be low for trials,
well,
you think?
Well, think about it. People who have done the rating, it's 390 weapons.
Got to be like 375, and you'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think. We need to wrap it up, guys. So let's hold that thought for next week after we've all played Trials.
More Destiny.
And can discuss it. I do want to end with one positive note from all of us about Rise of Iron and what we've enjoyed. I just want to say that the Kvostov quest and the Gjallarhorn quest for those exotics are absolutely phenomenal. The story that's told in them is great. It's nostalgic. And I loved going through those experiences for the first time. So that's my positive note, Sean.
I really liked that the campaign fleshed out a little bit more of who Lord Saladin is and the experience he went through. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so good that I wanted to be more of it, though. Like, I wish we had gotten Lord Saladin's perspective as well as the other fallen, Iron Lords. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that would have been really cool. But I really liked the campaign. I thought it was cool, and I wanted more of it.
Campaign was a little short. Mm-hmm. Raid, though, awesome. Like, just being back into it and, you know, getting a chance to meet a whole bunch of people. Again, I mean, we talked about this community thing a while back. Probably 10 people in the last 3 days I've played with that I've never played with before. Now, all of a sudden, because you do this raid and you do this, like, major accomplishment in the game, you're like, hey, we're best friends for life.
Yeah.
In the context of Destiny. I mean, you do feel that way.
Or I'm never talking to Destin again. Yeah.
Or I forgot your name, but do this. No, it's fun. I mean, I actually really like playing with you. Mm-hmm. I think all those things, like, those pieces of the raid are what makes it exciting. Like, I love seeing
high stakes, man.
Yeah, high stakes. I love seeing people get animated. I think it's hysterical when you do, but again, I love it, and it's part of the raid.
You guys got to go give Brian crap. He was so pissed last night. It was so funny.
It's a piece of the puzzle.
I like people that play like Panda. He's like, oh, I'm playing with Raid Destin right now. So, like,
he knows you got a mode.
Yeah, he's like, all right, he's in raid mode. Like,
yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Anyway, speaking of community, we actually just did a feature where we feature 11 really fantastic Destiny community pieces, fan-made creations and stuff like that. You can check it out on IGN.com and YouTube.
Nice.
It's really cool. I worked with Mike Ransky on it, and he asked me to promote it, and it came out really well, and we promote some great Destiny fan creations.
Plus, if you're into Destiny, you're going to like this stuff, because, the fan creations are awesome.
They're really, really cool.
Nice.
That's
Destin
scary.
Just might have lost his audio.
Hopefully they can
tell
you
later.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. On that note, we should probably wrap it up, though. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.